Sagemont Church is a gathering of Christian believers in the southeast area of Houston, Texas. Today's message is from our senior pastor, Dr. John Morgan.
I want to take you back on very, very briefly and remind you that have been here and to bring up to date those that have not, and you'll have to go back and pick up the CDs in the bookstore and catch up on the series of the previous messages. But here is where we have been. It is very, very clearly seen that what happened to Israel was that the wall of protection that God had put around his people was taken down. And they had the protection. God had seen them through so much. But little by little, the people of God became like the people of the world. They absolutely refused to listen to the truth of Scripture and prophecy and what God had told them. They moved more and more to be like the world. I can see that today, and you certainly should be able to, that our churches have moved away from the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the resurrection, the preaching of heaven, the preaching of hell, the preaching of judgment, because it's not even compatible to the people of God who want to feel good wherever they go and feel like everything is okay. And so the wall came down. God, as I told you last week, had put a protection around his children. And the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are wanting to protect the child of God that will walk in obedience to him. But when that wall of protection comes down, you're vulnerable to everything imaginable. I just simply ask you, how many times this week on the news have you heard anything said from any source about our borders, protecting our borders, doing this, building walls, coming on, you know, the enemy or others or whatever? And here's a nation that once was known for bring us your tired and your poor, your masses that are wanting to be free. And now we have seen things happen in our country that are alarming. And now people are wondering about where are the borders? Where are the fences? Who can we elect that'll protect us? And the God says, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. And I will always protect my children that walk in obedience to my word. And then, when the walls came down, the Assyrians and the terrorists came in. All of a sudden, that invisible wall of protection was no longer there. And here came the enemy. And when the enemy came, Israel fell. When the enemy came on the soils of America, the bricks began to fall. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves in a similar situation to Israel. And we're finding ourselves trying to grasp at straws as to how did it happen and how can we prevent it from happening again. And it is in that vein that we move today. I'm entitling the message today, A Wrong Response to a Warning from God. You see, when the walls came down, when the kingdom began to fall, and Israel began to see itself not as the winner by acclamation, but the mighty was beginning to fall, they were extremely angry. And their anger led to great pride. They were angry because they never thought it could ever happen. And so the pride began to build. And the more pride they had, the more stubborn they became. And you put all of those things together, and you begin to see a nation that began to live in an age of defiance. Here are the people of God who had known God, who were put there to walk with God, and they had the promises of God. But when they moved away and the things that they took for granted began to fall, the anger and the pride and the stubbornness and the defiance comes. We will rebuild with better stuff, is what Isaiah passage says. The bricks are going to be replaced with polished stone. No repentance. Nowhere in here do you see anything about repentance. It's all defiance. It is all who we are and what we are going to do. Well, how does that compare? I want to run the newsreel back, not visually, but audibly. I want you to try to remember back just over 10 years. I want you to think where you were when you may have heard some of this, if you heard it at all. But these are factual quotes, and these are documented quotes, and I do not have time to give you all of that. Just trust me. If you want to question them, I'd be glad to see you later on in the week. The first response was Mayor Rudy Giuliani. He said on that day, we, quoting him verbatim, we will rebuild. The senior senator from New York said on the 14th, we will rebuild. The governor of New York said, Pataki, we will rebuild and move forward. Junior Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, former first lady, on the floor of the United States Senate on 9/12, states, and I quote, we will rebuild. January the 2nd, 2002, the mayor of New York, as the rebuilding began, quoting him, we will rebuild, renew, and remain the capital of the free world. George W. Bush, to a joint session of Congress on September the 20th, 2001, said, we will rebuild New York City. Words were spoken and actions quickly followed. Ruins were cleared. Signs were erected. Here's one of the signs. A new icon will soon rise above the lower Manhattan skyline, the Freedom Tower. They even named it a tower. And the reel begins to run. The Interpreter's Bible, which is a popular commentary on the Bible that many of Bible teachers use, on Isaiah 9:10, here's their comment. Now, commentary is not the Bible. A commentary is comments on the Bible, all right? Here's the pulpit of the Interpreter's Bible. It is a defiance of a people. Now, this is on Isaiah 9:10. It is a defiance of a people far from being repentant who are glorying in their iniquity. Goes on to say, proud defiance of God will always bring disaster. On the 12th day of September, John Kerry, senator, former presidential candidate, spoke on the floor of the United States Senate. Could I quote from what he said? I believe one of the first things we should commit to with federal help that underscores our nation's purpose is to rebuild the towers of the World Trade Center and show the world that we are not afraid. The spirit of defiance wasn't by a certain group. It was by all proud Americans. It had no political label. You cannot put it in, that's what they're saying. It's what everybody was saying. We're America. We're proud to be American. And we have a right to be proud to be America if we understand that our pride is not in us, but in Him. Yes. We're thankful to be called the people of God. We're thankful that we have a God that has watched over us through so many things. Nathan Thornburgh in Time magazine wrote an article, The Mess at Ground Zero, on the first day of July, 2008. Listen to this. Rebuilding Ground Zero was going to be America's statement of defiance. That's 2008. We're still going to be defiant. 7 years later, we're going to do this and that, and it will be America's statement of defiance, according to Time Magazine and Nathan Thornborough. 2,500 years apart. 2,500 years apart. And the same message. We will rebuild. Now, the thing we know is what happened to Israel. We don't yet know what's going to happen to America. But if you continue to do what history has shown, when a nation turns its back against God, if we continue to do that, what can we expect to happen if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? I do not think you have to be rocket scientists in this stuff. I don't think you have to finish in the top of your graduating class to understand very clearly. To replace bricks, that's one thing. To rebuild with hewn, polished stone is another thing. It is literally defiance. Donald Trump, could I quote him? The entrepreneur, real estate giant. Let me quote him. We should have the World Trade Center bigger and better. A quote from MSNBC, Chris Matthews, on May 13, 2005, the proposed Freedom Tower was on the table at that time. Trump's response, it is disgusting and a pile of junk. Then he continued, what I want to see is the World Trade Center stronger and maybe a story taller. Now, it's one thing for Donald Trump to say it. It's another thing when God's people take the same position and continue to say, it isn't going to change the way I live one iota. It is not going to change my priority. I've got this. I got my family. I got my grandkids. I got my savings. I got all of this stuff. And I'll be getting on this a little bit later. But if you have not heard this news report from last week on the Squawk on Fox News, that now there are two pending things before the Congress to start taxing the 401s of every American, and say we cannot wait until retirement to tax it. When they draw it out, we will tax them now. To which Mr. Barney said, if you ever listen to him, he says if every American will send in everything they've got in their 401k, it will total $3.6 trillion, which will be only 20% of the more than $15 trillion debt this nation has. And yet we sit down and think we're going to figure out a way economically to bring this nation back. It's like a reenactment of Israel's story. The Septuagint was the Greek New Testament. The Greek translation of the Hebrew, the Septuagint. And here's Isaiah 9:10 in the Septuagint. The bricks are falling down. But come, let us build a tower. That's where you see the word tower in a translation of the Hebrew. And when you start reading about the stone that is there, it is G-A-Z-I-T, the Gazette stone, that is a polished stone like a tombstone. It's hewn, it's carved, it's dressed, it's smooth, it's quarried, it's one solid piece. And when you read those words that the bricks came down, the bricks and clay and all this kind of stuff came down, but we're going to do it bigger and better, I don't think that you see many buildings built out of polished stones or carved stones or hewn stones. Do you remember, though? Do you remember right after all of this started, you know, we're going to rebuild and so forth. Do you remember the day that they brought in a huge 20-ton stone to ground zero, and the mayors and the governors was there, New York, the governor of New Jersey was there, and other leaders and guests were there, and they called it the Freedom Stone. That's what we call the stone that was brought in from the Adirondacks. And it was going to be, at that time, the plan was later zelch, but they were going to bring in this 20-ton stone, and that was going to stand in the place of the tower. And here's the quotes from that day when all of those people were there. And of course, everybody had to have the microphone. And here's what some of the quotes. "The stone will forever remain a symbolic cornerstone for the rebuilding of New York and the nation." The New York governor, quote, "By laying this magnificent cornerstone of hope, we're sending a message to the people of the world. Today, we take 20 tons of Adirondack granite, the bedrock of our state, and we place it as the foundation, the bedrock of a new symbol of America's strength and confidence. Today, we, the heirs of that revolutionary spirit of defiance, lay the cornerstone." For those of you that read the Bible, have you ever heard that word, cornerstone, or did you have to go to where somebody was dedicating a building? Do you remember the scriptures that you were raised on as a child about the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone? It did not 20 tons out of the Adirondack Mountains that the Bible referred to. Not at all. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." And listen to this. "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone." Hard to understand? I don't think so. I see it a different way. I don't think you can. There's no question. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the rock. Upon this rock I will build my church. He wasn't talking about granite. He was talking about the rock of ages, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. 1 Peter 2:6, quoting Isaiah 28:16. Peter's quoting Isaiah 28 chapter. "Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." And listen to Mark 12:10. "And have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner." How beautiful it plays out for us if we can just cling to the Word of God. If we can just look through the eyes of people that walk by faith and not by sight. We see what's going on here. We see what's going on over there. We read about such and such, and somebody told me that. But then we pick up the Word of God, and the Word of God begins to lay out step by step to His people. "Listen to me, people. I hold the world in my hand. From the beginning of the book of Genesis until the end of Revelation, I'm King of kings and Lord of lords. I will not withhold any good thing from those that walk with me. However, righteousness will exalt a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people, including the people of God." Yes. Who today, many of whom, absolutely cannot accept the fact of what sin is and how it affects a person's life, and how to just moderate it. Moderation. Why are we being so puritanical? Why are we being like our forefathers? They were just narrow-minded. even though Jesus says narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. By this time, the construction at Ground Zero was in a mess of confusion, if you'll remember. Everything was halted, renamed, reversed, and challenged. You'd have thought they were building a church building. The stone was taken away. Israel's plans were frustrated as well. Theirs wasn't going like they had planned it to go. Quite a mystery. You might say that though the players and the actors were doing a beautiful performance, tears would run down your face as you would see people standing on the steps of our Capitol and singing God Bless America, who could not weep, and then look 2 weeks later and wonder what happened. The sycamores are cut down. Well, what does that have to do with us? We'll have to wait till next week on that, but let me close out today in this way. As we look to the past, we will understand the future. And I have three things. Number one, we need to recognize the seriousness of the moment. We need to recognize the seriousness of the moment. I got to thinking, I ran into Wayne Lewis. He does our Right Step program here. Some of you have been to AA. You know what they do. Some of you have been to my financial seminar. I've got 9 steps to getting out of debt. They got 12 steps to getting sober. Could I make a suggestion? We don't have time for 12 steps. Right. We got time for one step. Right. And that is, you must be born again. Right. That means that it's time for people to quit playing religion and start knowing God. It's time for repentance. It's time for us to look and see, are we trying to plan out something, or are we trying to find out what God's up to and get in on it? We don't need a program writer. We don't need somebody to get us an agenda. We don't need an order of service. We need a repentant heart that's willing to say, I have no earthly idea how we got in this mess in detail, and I have no earthly idea how to get out of it. And I'm here to tell you, there's not one living American that knows how to get this nation out of the mess it's in. Not one of their own volition. But thank God there are a few people around that still believe, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will forgive their sin and then I will heal their land. Not many, but there are a few. So my second suggestion, don't only recognize how serious it is, but memorize the simple direction for the solution. I just gave it to you. One thing, repent. Turn to God. And finally, decide whether or not you want to be a part of the solution or part of the problem. The biggest problem we have is for God's people to try to live like the world rather than to trust God regardless. It doesn't matter what it does to me personally. Doesn't matter what it does to my family or my business or anything else. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're going to trust Him. And we're going to see what happens. I don't know if you have these problems. I had it today, so it's fresh on my mind. I set the alarm clock up 1 hour. I normally get up at 5:50 on Sunday morning, so I moved it to 4:50. And guess what? It went off at 4:50. Can you imagine? And you know what your spiritual leader thought about doing at 4:50? Reach over there and cut it off and say, I'll take my chances. to get across 146 some way or another. But God convicted the preacher. I don't know if he's supposed to do that or not, but he convicted the preacher and said, you're just about to break what you're just going to preach. And that is, when the alarm clock goes off, it's time to pay attention and to heed the warning and get it right. We don't know how long we have. We don't know how long we have. This week, let's see, it was Friday. The body of a man lay right here, the earthly remains. Mr. Iman was from Iran. He came to America when his daughter, Jale Borden, who was depressed, twice tried to take her life, and one day, Jale met Jesus personally. Every doctor, and she had been to the best in the city of Houston, said, what you've got is incurable. And she was instantaneously healed of her depression the day she got saved. Her daddy was in Iran. And when he talked to his daughter on the telephone, and they told this at the funeral, when he talked to his daughter on the telephone, he got on a plane and he came to America. How could my daughter be changed? And a few days later, her daddy gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And both of them knew that their family would probably totally ostracize them because of the strong Muslim background. But that was all right. And Mr. Iman said, after being saved, he says, now listen to this, he's not a theologian. This is a Muslim that just met Jesus. He says, God has blessed America because America is worshiping the right God. Yes. Now he didn't know, see. It appeared to him, see, he didn't know some of the things we know about our country. Right. We know that everybody here doesn't worship Jesus Christ. Right. But that's what he saw. It's as if the Holy Spirit blinded him from some other things and said, I see God in your country that's doing something. He changed my daughter and he changed me. And if you were here the day he was baptized, right there, he died at 86. His grandson was in the baptistry with him, who had seen the difference in both of them. And now he's a grown boy. When he came up out of that water, that man hollered out in this auditorium, I love you, Jesus. Amen. And boy, you could have knocked down the deacons and the staff and everybody else around here, including the preacher. A boldness from a man almost 80 years old that had walked in darkness, born in royalty, had five servants growing up that did everything in the world for him. But he met Jesus one day and he told his family, when I die and I get close, wherever I am, come get me and bring me to Houston. And I want to be buried at the cemetery that Sagemont Church owns. I want my funeral at Sagemont. He had a dream that I'd preach his funeral. And he had a dream that angels came and just took his soul away. Yes. That's boldness, folks. Yes. That's something that I can't give you a list of 30 more people who've done the same thing. But I do know this. God inhabits the people that love him. Yes, he'll protect us. He'll provide. He'll guide. He'll direct. And by the way, he'll go with us through it. Yes. So I want to encourage you every moment of every day to just say in your heart, just say, Lord, when I get up this morning, I'm just going to tell you this. And if I change my mind, I'll come back and tell you. But I'm telling you right now, wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, use me to glorify you. And give me a boldness and a humility, a holy boldness, which is a willingness to humble myself and thank you and praise you and speak to others my love for you, and then watch and see what God does. Every head bowed and every eye closed for a moment. None of us have any idea as to how God is going to respond to our nation and to our individual lives. But one thing we do know, folks, and that is that God is too good to commit a wrong and He's too wise to make a mistake. His heart is pure. His plan has not changed. One day, we will be separated from this world. No more sin, no more death, no more pain. The former things are passed away. And people will love God and they'll love one another. But while we're here, the world needs to hear truth and to see it, to be living proof of a loving God to a watching world. So I challenge you to do that. I challenge myself to do it. I challenge those of you that watch to do it and those that listen. Heavenly Father, I pray that there not be any one of us that will feel that we're not important to you. I pray, Father, that you will just impress upon all of us that you've given us a place and a people. It may not be a pulpit and a platform. It may be riding in a car, fishing in a boat, sitting around a campfire, being at the plant, sitting around the corporate board, going to the bank, being at the grocery store, the gas pump, the doctor's office, at the school, wherever. And Lord, may we look at every moment through your eyes. What would Jesus do if he were here right now? And what would he say? And then give us, Lord, those words and the courage and the how-to to do it. And I pray today, Father, for many that are going to be here. Some will hear the gospel for the first time. Some will have never been in a church before. They will be on this campus. We know that. Every Sunday it happens. I pray for those in particular. Many are confused. Many of them have stayed away for years because they cannot understand. How can you say one thing and be something else? So, Lord, you just deal with each of us where we need to be dealt with, and we'll trust you. But right now we're praying for people to come into the fellowship of our church that want to be a part of what you're doing and are going to do. And we're asking that people be saved here and come and let us disciple them and learn with them and stand with them. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.